Sister Morris. We'll get together in the choir and start, let's sing on him. Bring down confusion. Stop all that mess. Let's just stop now and just pray. Let's stop now and have devotion. Let's stop and take it to God in prayer. You know, I had a deacon like that, Deacon Bird. I believe I see his wife somewhere here. That old deacon, no, I'm looking at her right here in the purple. What's your husband's name? Huh? No, this one behind you. In the purple. I'm going to get it right, and I ain't preaching till I get it right. You, daughter. The one came from Mount Calvary. What was that young man? That's right. Brother Bird, I got it right. Bert. Bert. Brother Bert. God sent me that man from Mount Calvary. That deacon had a smile on his face. He used to always bring popcorn to my children and take them up there to watch the ball game. Something was about that deacon, I don't care what went on in the boarding. He just knew how to say the right word and get up and shake your hand and smile. He knew how to bring peace. I call that fan in the place. Am I right about it? Bees know just what to do. When one bee start on a project and finish it, the other bee know how to come right behind and finish it. But I close here by telling you this morning, I gotta let you go now. My time is running out. When I look at the bees, I think about Jesus is a king bee. What is it about the king bee? First thing about a king bee is that a bee is a clean insect. A bee believes in cleaning out the beehive. When old stuff gather up in the house, that working bee will go through and clean the house and sweep the floors. And if some dirt happen to build up in the house and it's too much for the bee to move, he take wax and cover over it. Bury it where you won't see it no more. I tell you right now, Jesus is the king bee. Somebody here tonight and today can tell you he'll clean out mess. Somebody said, I used to have a lying tongue. Somebody said, I used to have a gossiping mouth. But since I've been born again, since the Lord has come to my heart, he cleaned out my mouth. Somebody said, I used to have a nasty attitude. But now the Lord has cleaned your attitude. I tell you right now, my karma, if Jesus is the king bee, he'll clean you up. Oh, yes, he will. And then I want to tell you, a bee is black and gold. Great God, if Jesus is the king bee, it's two sides to him. The blackness represents his humanity, and the gold represents his divinity. Ain't God all right? He was a man as well as a God. He was a man so that he could understand what things we go through. But he was a God so that he could help us to go through things that we go through. Ain't God all right? I'm glad today he was a man and a God. Aren't you glad about that? I'm gonna close by telling you, not only is it two sides to a bee, the bee produces the best perfect food made by any creature. Yes, and that's honey. Red God, I've been told that when a bee makes honey, nobody else can make honey. Red God, I've been told that they make perfect food. Well, if a bee makes perfect Jesus makes perfect food. Jesus is the bread of life. And whatever he gives you is perfect, I tell you. Ain't God all right? How do you know this perfect, Fleming? Every time I read what the words of Jesus and I eat on the word, I don't find no bones in it. Praise God. Every time I eat the word of God, I don't find that the food is stale or contaminated. Every time I read the 23rd Psalm, it's still fresh and green. Every time I read the 14th chapter of St. John, I find that it's still fresh and green. His word is fresh. He's got the best food in the world. Hey God, all right. I want to tell you, my karma, all you need to do is eat the word of God. It'll be strength for your soul. It'll help you travel on this Christian journey. And not only that, I tell you, his word is sweet, just like honey. Hey God, all right. He's sweet, I know. If you want the sweet gospel, eat the word this morning. If you want something to help you, to tell me honey's energy, if you eat the word of God, you talking about vitamin to help you travel on this Christian journey. Eat a little this honey. I eat a little this morning. Thank God, all right. I read a little this morning. The Lord in my life and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I ate a little this morning. My God will supply all of your needs. I ate a little this morning. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. They'll soon be cut down. I ate a little this morning. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Thank God, all right. And then I want to tell you in closing, I got one more thing I want to tell you. A bee is a great builder. Know how to build a beehive. Jesus is a great builder. Upon this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm not worrying about the devil coming against the church. He won't succeed because the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Hey God, all right. And then I want to tell you, wait a minute, Fleming. One more final thing I want to tell you. When I was looking in the encyclopedia, studying the life of a bee, they tell me the queen bee, when she stay in the hive so long and find out it's getting old and no more room, she will fly to the beehive and fly up on a limb and just sit there a while. And when the other bees in the colony can't find the queen bee, they'll come on out of the beehive and look for mama queen bee. And she'll say, come on up a little higher. Let's move out the old house and find a new house. Thank God, all right. Jesus is a queen bee. 1900 years ago, he was down here with me. He left the old beehive, went on up to heaven, and sat at the right hand of the Father, throne of God, and told me, come on a little higher.
He's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
All right. and reviewing and trying to refresh us on what we talked about previously. Amen. And so I will try to limit that as much as I can, because I might be up here all day just even on the review. But with your prayers and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will move through this. I wanted in these first Sundays of this new year to remind the people of God that God has a mission for our lives. I know that many times we make New Year's resolutions, and for the most part, those resolutions are all about us and what we want and how we want to look and how we want to feel and all of that. But I want to remind the people of God that we were created with purpose.
Amen.
Amen. The fact that you're here today, the fact that you woke up this morning, clothed in your right mind, suggests that God has a purpose for you being here. Now, I told you last week that most theologians, most Bible scholars call this 67th number of Psalm a Thanksgiving Psalm, because the psalmist over and over again talks about the blessings of God. And in a real sense, he is saying how thankful he is, not only for past blessings, but when you read this, you also discover that he is thanking God in anticipation of future blessings. Is there anybody here today who understands that if God could bless you yesterday, that if God could bless you last year,
amen,
then it is no secret what God can do, and certainly what he's done for others, he can do the same thing for you. But rather than focusing on the thanksgiving aspects of this psalm, I want to focus on the missionary aspects of this psalm. Because what we discover is that God's, through God's grace, through his goodness, amen, and Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. Paul says that he commends us to love him. And what Paul is saying is that God presents for us so many beautiful and attractive promises and blessings that anybody with any amount of sense ought to be drawn to that kind of God. Who wouldn't serve a God that could heal you when you're sick?
Amen.
Who wouldn't serve a God that can, amen, pay your light bill when you don't know where the money is coming from?
Amen.
Who wouldn't serve a God that can put food on your table and clothes on your back? Come on, where are my folk who are attracted to God because of the blessings? You ought to be. Amen. You ought to be attracted to him because of the blessings. But from a missionary aspect, the psalmist lets us know that there are four aspects of God that God wants us to promote. He wants us to promote God. God is a God who wants to be known. He is a God who wants to be praised. He is a God who wants to be enjoyed. But don't leave this one out. He is a God who wants to be feared. And we're talking about reverential fear. And so the question of the hour is, how is it that God will be known? How is it that non-believers will come to the place where they praise him? How is it that folk who have not had an experiential walk with God know that he is the kind of God that you can enjoy? Amen. How is it that people who've never been taught, never been trained, never been discipled, how is it that they will ever fear this holy and righteous God? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because the answer to the question is God will use you and me. He will use us, amen, to promote his goodness. He will use us to promote his power. He will use us to promote his praise. And so God has a mission for each of our lives. Now, normally when we talk about mission, even as it relates to the missionary societies and our churches and foreign missions and all of that, for the most part, we get consumed and caught up in the blessings aspect of it. Because most of us see mission as a means of digging wells in foreign countries that don't have pure, healthy drinking water. We see mission, people going to foreign countries and building schools and building homes and huts and helping people in those ways with food and all of that. But let me tell you, the real object of mission is not all that good stuff. The real object and purpose of mission is not a water well. It is not teaching folk how to grow crops. It is not shelter over somebody's head. That's not really the goal of mission. The real goal of mission is to spread the love of Christ. And so every time, amen, we provide food for somebody that's hungry, every time we buy medicine for someone who doesn't have the financial means to purchase medicine, our ultimate goal is not that they would see us. Our ultimate goal is not that they would applaud us and commend us. Our ultimate goal is that they would see Jesus. Anybody remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, they shall know we are Christians. How? By our love. So I want to remind us that we have a mission. And let me just rehash. The first thing I told you last week is that our first mission is that God wants to use us so that the world may know him. Amen. God wants to be known. And so we are really walking billboards. We are living advertisements, amen, of what a true and holy God looks like. At least we ought to be. I said at least we ought to be. Can I get a witness today? All right. And I told you this. I said that God will soon stop sending blessings to you if he cannot send blessings what? Through you. Y'all say that with me. God will soon stop sending blessings to you if he cannot send blessings through you. All right. That's for all the tight-fisted folk. Come on. Y'all know, amen. I ain't giving nothing. I'm not giving them nothing. Amen. Let them pull themselves up by their own bootstraps like I did. Let them get a job. Well, some people don't have the mental capacity to get a job like you got. Come on. Come on. Y'all know some folk. Amen. Sis Wilson is a principal over at Burner. There are some folk, amen, who even if they wanted to, couldn't handle it. And they need help. Amen. Don't assume that everybody has the same capacity that you have. There are some people who have limited capacity, and I'm sick and tired of hearing Republicans and conservatives talk about, amen, we ought not spend our tax dollars on welfare and on food stamps and all of that. There are some folk, I don't care what, you could send them to Harvard, and they would never reach a point in their existence where they could, amen, fend for themselves. And it just seems to me that if we love God, it just seems to me that if God is real in our lives, it just seems to me that if we really understand that what we are, where we are, what we have is not because we've been so good, not because we've done it all right, but it was grace. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, God has been gracious to us in blessing us. Amen. So God wants to use us so that the world may know him. We've got to preach it. We've got to teach it. But then secondly, I told you that God wants to use us so that the world may worship him. Because not only does God want to be known, but he wants to be known intimately. In other words, our challenge is to get people to fall in love with Jesus. And can I tell y'all something? If folk had to judge Jesus by us, amen, some people wouldn't fall in love with him. Not with your foul mouth. Ooh, is that Jesus? Come on, we're supposed to look like our daddy. Am I right about it? And not with that language you're using, not with the stuff you're talking about. That Jesus you promoting, ain't that? That's a problem there. So when we try to compel people to worship and fall in love with God, we've got to check ourselves. I said we've got to check ourselves. We want people to know God to the point of intimacy. See, because you cannot worship what you don't love. You cannot worship what you don't value. You cannot worship what you don't find pleasure in. Now, I'm telling you, you can get folk to worship money. If you don't believe me, just go back about a week ago. I went to Circle K to get my chocolate milk and oatmeal cookies, and the line was so long. that I said I'm going to do without chocolate milk and oat milk cake because y'all was in there getting your lottery tickets. Now, amen. Where are all the honest people? Raise your hands. You fairly honest. Amen. Did anybody in here win something? Amen. Amen. The point I want to make is this. We don't mind money. As a matter of fact, we love money. The Bible speaks against the love of money. But the reason we fall in love with money, as I told you last Sunday, is because we know that money can do some things for us. Come on, come on. I said we know that money can do some things for us. Am I by myself in here? Money can do some things for us. And so we fall in love with money. And y'all know people will do anything to get money. Y'all gonna make me, I'm gonna just say it till I get an amen. So people will do anything to get money.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But can you imagine that if people really realized the truth of who God is? Whew. Because I know money doesn't make me. Where are my folk who can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want? Come on, come on, come on. Amen. I understand. And if we can convince people, because on the first Sunday, I started this whole series out with talking about Facebook and how challenging it was for me to get my secretary to sign up for a Facebook account. But I kept preaching it. I kept pushing it. And eventually she signed up for Facebook. Amen. Because I got her to understand that there's some value in Facebook. There's some usefulness in Facebook. You can do some things on Facebook. And she signed up. And now you can't keep her off of Facebook. And what I told you all of that to convince us that if we really know God, if we really love God, if we really have find value in God, then we ought to take the same energy and get our neighbors, get our family members to know that there's value in God. There's worth in God. Baby, there's peace in God. There's love in God. There's joy in God. There's happiness in God. And if we can convince folk to sign up for Facebook, we ought to be able to convince somebody to fall in love with Jesus. Can I tell you something? If folk will do anything to get money, what would it be like if folk would do anything to get God? What would church be like if folk would do anything to get God? Amen. Because some of you don't praise God because you don't want to mess your hair up. You don't want to mess your dress up. You don't want to get your suit wrinkled. Some of you won't praise him because you don't want nobody to, amen, to judge you. But what if everybody came in here not worrying about who was looking at them, not worrying about what somebody was thinking about? I come in here to get more of God. I come in here to get closer to God. I come in here to have an intimate relationship with God. And if that means I got to make some folk mad, if that means you're going to look at me sideways, go on and look with your sideways self. Because God is worth my praise. God is worth my worship. God is worth my time. God is worth my energy. Where are my people who know what he's worth? Give him praise. You ought to give him praise. And the psalmist doesn't assume that we know, amen, just by nature, the worth of God or the value of God. So he gives us in this passage a few reasons why we ought to worship him. He says, first of all, in verse 4, he says, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously." He says one good reason, if you don't have one, to worship God, to love God, to celebrate God, is that he ain't like like people. I was going to say Negroes. God judges righteously.